And so we're driving down the freeway at 85 miles per hour. And right when I go to ask my friend to slow down, because I felt like we were going too fast, at that exact moment, our other friends clipped our car. We fishtail out of control. We're at this point, you know, it's everything's in slow motion. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm in the moment where you think this is the moment that would never happen to me. Well, it's happening to me right now.
It's often reported that those who have a near-death experience often report that it's been a wake-up call to change their life for the better. So I invited Jordan Tarver, who is a best-selling author and speaker, to have a chat about his experience. Now, I won't give the game away, but I don't think Jordan was expecting our conversation about his experience or his mindset to go in a direction it did. We had a powerful conversation, which opened up some wonderful insights that I know has changed Jordan's path again in going forward. I promise you, you really do not want to miss this episode. So let's dive right in. And welcome, Jordan Tarver. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a good interview. I mean, I was listening to your book recently and such great advice. You know, interesting title, by the way. We'll go into that in a moment. But can you just give us a bit of background, how you came to be, you know, a best-selling author, keynote speaker in personal growth? What happened to you?
I mean, I think you got to take it back to the beginning of my story to really know how this all came to be. I was born in a small town of about 40,000 people in a beautiful place in California, Northern California, Sonoma County, to be exact. And I'm the youngest of four, had a really positive childhood, you know, and I think that's something that I'm really grateful for. And I know I feel fortunate to have had that experience. And while my childhood was positive and healthy, and I had loving parents who were involved and present and supported us, I went to a Montessori school with only 40 other kids for the first up into sixth grade. So about, I must have been somewhere around like 11 or 12, somewhere around there. And then I transferred to a larger public school for middle school. And so I went from 40 students to 600 in the matter of days. And that transition, it was a culture shock. You know, it was something different. There was different constructs to friend groups and community and behavior and those kind of things that come with a larger school setting. And although I had that positive childhood, when I made that transfer in the school, it really highlighted the areas of my life that I was insecure about, the things where I still haven't learned myself. And I started to fall into this path of this insecure, unconfident person. Okay. And that was a journey that I experienced through middle school and high school, which now looking back as that I'm older, I see that it did serve me because it motivated me to unpack those things, grow, overcome them. And it wasn't really until college that I felt like I started to step into that next version of myself, started to think about the things that I wanted, the choices I wanted to make, the people that I wanted to hang out with. And it was my first year of college, March 22nd, 2013. And I was going to an event with some friends of mine, and we were leaving. It was like 11 p.m. We were in the parking lot. We have destination fixation, so we split up into two separate cars. And I remember getting in that car, and my friend just drove out of the parking lot so fast that it felt like we were on the freeway within what felt like 3 seconds. Wow. And so we're driving down the freeway at 85 miles per hour. And right when I go to ask my friend to slow down, because I felt like we were going too fast, at that exact moment, our other friends clipped our car. Oh, no. Fishtail out of control. We're at this point, you know, it's everything's in slow motion. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm in the moment where you think this is the moment that would never happen to me. Well, it's happening to me right now. And we're going across the freeway. Our car tips over and we slide across the five lanes of traffic. And all I can see are sparks of flying everywhere. I can smell the scent of the burning metal. And I don't know if I'm going to make it out alive. I'm just hoping that I get one more chance and one more opportunity to keep living my life because I'm young at the time. You know, I was 19, a lot of a life left to live. And our car stopped right before hitting the center divider. And we all were just frozen in shock because we had no idea. It happened so quick, but it also felt so slow. And so we all climb out of the car, and a paramedic walks over to check our heart rates. And he looks at us and he says, most people aren't alive when I come out to these. And, you know, now that I'm older and I think about that, I realize how lucky we were. You know, in the moment I was innocent and naive and just didn't really know what was going on. But that was the moment that sent me on this journey of personal development, self-discovery, change, and putting myself in a place where I could design a life that I would be proud of at the end of my life, you know, whether that be tomorrow or in 60 years. And that moment in the car accident was the wake-up call that made me stop living my life on autopilot and start making intentional choices. And from that moment on, that's when I started really getting into putting out personal development content, work. It was the reason and the inspiration for my book. And I tell that story in length because, you know, becoming a best-selling author wasn't just running the right ad. It wasn't just running the right TikTok or posting the right piece of content. Mm-hmm. It was living a life that gave me experiences that were well worth teaching to other people.
Yeah, I think the book is super relatable. I'm really fascinated about that, the car incident. And what do you think it was about that? I know that we could all make a guess. What was it about that that said, okay, I can't be complacent with life any longer. I have to build this life. I mean, did your friends all do that? I don't know where they are, but what was it about you, do you think, and your experience that said, okay, this is the path I'm going to take?
I think naturally I'm a very introspective person. And I always have been. I've been very reflective throughout my entire life. And I've always also believed that things happen for a reason, whether we know that reason immediately or we figure that out later in life. And so with an experience that profound and that loud in my reality, it just made sense to me that there was a deeper meaning to it and there was something that I could draw out of it to make my life better moving forward. And I think, you know, that truth didn't really come out right away. I mean, I was 19, I was in college, I was in a fraternity. Like that was probably the last thing I was thinking about during that time. But as I got older, it's even to this day, like I feel like every year I reflect on that accident a little deeper to understand it a little more and a little more and a little more, because I've realized the more time I spend reflecting on it through that lens, the more it helps me grow and the more it helps me make or build a more full life, because it amplifies the fact that like life is so fragile. Mm. And I think the more we understand that we don't know when our last moment's going to be, the more we understand that, the more intentional we're going to lead our life, the more intentional our choices will be. And I think we'll just take a greater responsibility and ownership for our future.
And do you think, looking back at your wake-up call, do you see that, do you see that as something that you're now grateful for? As in, even though it was a near-death experience, is that something you look back and think, I'm glad that happened?
Yeah, I think almost having a car accident take my life was the greatest gift I've ever received, truly. And it is something I'm deeply grateful for because it set up my future. As scary as it could be or scary as it was, you know, I realized in that moment that I had two choices. You know, I could choose this path where the car accident would spiral my life out of control. It would overwhelm me with fear and it would distract me from living a life that I was proud of because I was caught up in this traumatic experience forever. Or the other path, which is what I chose, was seeing it as a positive life-changing moment, seeing it as something that would inspire and motivate me to make the choices that would serve me. And I think, well, I know because of that second path that I chose, which is maybe the path that it's not the first instinct for someone to choose. I think it takes awareness and it takes intention, but that path is available at any situation or during any situation in your life. You know, taking that path as the path of my life, that's where the gratitude comes from, is that, you know, there was an option for me to make this serve me in a way that would help me build a better life.
Yeah, and that's a powerful mindset, isn't it? To be able to look at something as traumatic as a, you know, near-death experience or anything else. You know, and I hear this quite a lot, you know, like my own story is I had a near-death. I was contemplating suicide because of anxiety. And then I had that huge wake-up call at that moment. And that has led me to this very moment where we're having a conversation about this stuff. It's now the way that we live our lives. And I'm very grateful for that moment. And often people have this deep crisis, these things that go wrong. And they often think there's something wrong with them. They often think that's because they're weak or that they've got, you know, it's going to bode badly for their future. And yet, as you just said, it's something that, and like you and I have experienced, it could lead to something quite amazing.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of life, is that miracles exist in any moment, and they exist through making the choices that would align you with that miracle. And that's what I learned through my car accident. And I'm sure you learned through your own experience, which, you know, is honorable as well as of what you've done with that and what you've turned it into. Because again, you know, most people don't choose that path, unfortunately. But I think it's such a good reminder and a conversation to have, that to remind people in those situations, or when they're going to face a challenge or an obstacle that feels insurpassable, that it isn't about the challenge. It's about how they respond to the challenge.
Yeah.
And that's the gift. That's the miracle. The miracle is in the choice. The miracle is choosing for it to be something that serves your greatest and highest good moving forward, and not the other way around.
I think that's a really lovely term, and knowing it can be for your highest good, because often, you know, the struggles that we face often lead us to look within and find those resources or get help and support to help us move forward. And that can be the biggest leaps in our consciousness, can't it?
Yeah. And I think, and not just like, you know, it's not always, you know, maybe I'm oversimplifying it right now. You know, it's like, oh, I got in a car accident, made this choice, and all was good. Mm. But I mean, let's just put it into terms of regular life. Like, I feel like I'm at a point in my life right now, my personal journey, where I'm going through my next evolution as a person. You know, I'm about to turn 30 in July. I had my first like real self-discovery journey when I was 20, 21. And I kind of feel like I'm in this new phase. And I'm at this point in my life where, especially this year, there's a lot of obstacles and challenges as I start to reach toward that next version of myself. Mm. And in those moments, you know, it's just human. It's really easy for me to get frustrated. Like, even as someone who has that perspective of making a choice to better serve you, I still have to go through the process of getting to the place where I can make that choice for myself. I still have to go through the frustration. I still have to go through those emotions. And I think, you know, for the people that are listening, that's just part of the game. You know, you have to process those things and work through those uncomfortable feelings to get to the place of clarity, to be like, okay, now I see how this is serving me. But I think I want to give this example to be like, in the beginning for me, sometimes I don't know how it's serving me, but I do have faith that I will find why it's serving me eventually. Yeah. And I think that perspective and mindset is my North Star to get me through the hard times, because I know it's harder for me to turn away and run away from a challenge and wonder what would have happened if I just went through it. That's harder than doing the hard thing.
Yeah.
That has more pain. That regret is heavier for me. And so I try to keep that as my North Star and just know that on the days that it feels really hard and really dark and like I can't see the light, that is not going to last forever as long as I continue forward looking for the reason and looking for a way for it to serve me.
Yeah, there's a beauty in remembering that everything is impermanent. When you recognize the impermanence to life, that no matter what you're going through right now, and I hope people who listen to this, if you're struggling for a struggle, whatever you're going through right now, it can't last. It will change. Nothing can stay the same. Mm-hmm. But we often forget that in those moments.
Yeah, well, I think it's... I had this week. Like, Monday was a good day. Tuesday, I started to kind of feel this like frustration bubble up when I was thinking about, you know, where I wanted to be by now. I'm going after these things in my career and my personal life, and they're taking longer. There's more challenges. There's more roadblocks. And there was a lot of frustration. And in that moment, like, you know, I had emotional breakdown, because it just got to the point where it was like, although I would never do this, I just wanted to give up on everything. Like, I just wanted to be done. And I think it's okay to come to that point in that journey, as long as you allow yourself to go through that thought and then get to the clarity, be like, you know what, I'm not going to do that. Because I think processing those things and letting those emotions come out, whether it be frustration, anger, sadness, worry, fear, that's how you move through them. And that's what I learned in my journey with my emotions, is like, and especially in those what feel like darker times, in the struggle and the challenges and the obstacles, it's like, I need to get that shit out. Like, I can't just hold on to those feelings, but I also have to hold myself accountable for not letting it become my entire reality, that I will find a way through it. But I think what people forget is that the way through is through.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to process through the emotions and not around them and run away from them. But I think that's why it's so hard to grow and change in life and to make these moments turn into things that serve you, is because it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit, for a little bit. Like you said, nothing's forever. Nothing's permanent. Everything changes. And so I think holding on to the belief and having faith that those moments of what may feel like darkness will eventually turn into light. And I actually believe that sometimes in our darkest days is when we do find the most light.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I wonder, you know, when you were talking just then, and that you've had struggles this week, is the pressure maybe someone like yourself as an author, you know, keynote speaker in the self-growth world, you know, it's almost like you're not allowed to have that. You should be above that by now. You should be on a different level. Do you ever feel that pressure to almost put a facade in place that you're all okay, and because this is your career, so you're not meant to be having low moments? You know, where do you sit on that?
No, you know, I think that's actually part of the way I show up is I want to be my most authentic and true self. And that comes with a great deal of honesty and a great deal of vulnerability. And I think that vulnerability is what makes people connect with you and to you. And so it's never been something I've been afraid to share. You know, fortunately, I have the courage to do that. I know it's, for some people, that's a really difficult and sensitive thing to share, what you're actually going through. Cause you know, there's judgment, there's the pressure of like, oh, what do people think of me? Am I going to like, if you're an author, does this make me like, do people respect me at this point if I'm really going through it, but I'm teaching them these things? It's like, well, that's what makes you human. And that's what it is to be human, is to feel and to go through things. And I think hiding that and not putting that out there is doing a disservice to the impact you have in the world. Or in my case, it's doing a disservice of the impact I can create if I don't show all sides of myself. Because there might be someone right now that's listening to this, because I've shared all these vulnerabilities, they feel connected to the work and they can use my work in a way that would support them on their journey. Had I not shared those things, maybe they wouldn't have connected to me because they're not a best-selling author. They're not an editor at Forbes. They don't have a platform, but that's not who I am. That's not who Jordan Tarver is. That's one part of me. Yeah. And so I think sharing those things for me, that's what makes me connect with my community. And it's nothing that I ever feel pressure around, because I would rather people know that I'm going through something and then use it as a way to help them grow as well, so I can teach from that place of personal experience, then create this facade that is not true. And then I go to bed every night knowing that I'm not being honest in the world.
Yeah, I think it was, it's funny I mentioned this. I think it was Lady Gaga that said that at one point in her career, you know, she was talking about, well, it's her that has to go to bed with herself at the end of the day. And you know, all the sort of deals that she was getting involved in, it wasn't coming from a place of integrity. That was kind of the message I was getting. And I think then she cut all of those things away because she wanted to live more authentically. And the episode, why is it as many that I mentioned in Lady Gaga, was I talked recently on a podcast episode about a spiritual awakening I had to a Lady Gaga video that I just happened to be showing someone. And then this whole thing happened. So
we need I need to hear that episode. I need to hear that one.
Yeah, you have to give it a listen. I was not expecting that, and it's changed things completely for me. And you know, you've had your awakening experience in a way when you had your near death experience with the car, and it created this whole journey for you, this whole, you know, drive. And then you created this book, which is called "You Deserve This Shit: Get Unstuck, Find Your Path, and Become the Best Version of Yourself." Talk me through the title for a moment. What was it about this? Because it really is a great attention grabber, and it's a great book. So talk me through the title, and what can people expect if they have a little dive into this book?
Yeah, so the title also has everything has a story at this point. Yeah. But so that wasn't the first title of the book. The first title of the book was Run Yourself Wild. And at that point in my career, I was kind of in this more like creative artist kind of realm. And that just felt like this really, like, it was gonna be this artsy piece, and then it was gonna be this whole other thing. But just from this, like, I feel like from the moment I wrote that name down, in my gut, I knew it wasn't the right name. And so I shelved it and I said, you know what? I'm just going to write the book first and then I will come up with the name. I'll let the book tell me what the name is. And I have a very spiritual approach to creativity in general. I don't know if you've read the book Creative Act by Rick Rubin, but he has also a very spiritual approach to creativity. And I really resonate with what he shares. So if anyone has read that book, you can kind of understand how I see creativity.
I've got it lined up to listen to. So it's funny you mentioned it, but it's lined up to listen to. I really want to, now I'm going to have to, because you've mentioned it. So
I keep it right here on my desk. It is, I won't give it away, but it's a treat. It is a treat. Okay. I love it.
Great.
Especially if you're on your own spiritual journey and also creative, I feel like it's just a really cool blend that he gives. So I have the spiritual approach to my creativity. And so I just trusted that the name would drop in eventually. And so I was writing the book one day. I was living in LA at the time. I started writing this book when I was about 23, probably. Living in LA with, at the time, my buddy who was my roommate. And I'd write every morning before my day job. You know, I'd write from 7 to 9 or whatever it was. And I was writing and I just sort of like, you deserve this shit. And I just got the chills when I said it. I was like, that's interesting, but do I want to be that bold? Is that really my brand? And I just like wrote it down and I just kind of shelved it again. Didn't really think about it. And then it would like come up every so often and like, oh, this name is kind of coming back. And then I came to this point where I was like, no, that's the name. That's the title of the book. But then I was reluctant to tell my girlfriend at the time, my who's my wife now. I was almost reluctant to tell her because I knew how powerful it was and I knew how good it was going to be and I knew how good the title was that I felt fear of like almost just like the recognition from someone to tell me it's good. I think there's a lot of fear in recognition and being spotlighted in that sense, which sounds backwards, but it's totally true. But I finally told her and she just like lit up too. She's like, oh my God, like that's the title. Like that's the title. And so that's how the title came up. And I think there's another side story I'll quickly tell about the book before we like dive into the content of the book, which I think is interesting. So I'd originally had a different book cover as well. And so again, this is very like, we're starting to see this theme of spirituality and things unfolding in the way they're supposed to be created. A lot of surrendering in this path of mine. And so I had this cover. It was blue with like it was blue and yellow. It was totally different. And I ordered the first proof of the book. The book was done, got the first cover. And I was just like, I immediately knew. I was like, this is not right. Like this doesn't speak the energy that it needs to speak. It doesn't jump off the page like I want it to. Like this isn't right. And it took me a while to actually come to that conclusion. I think I knew it deep down, but I didn't want to actually accept it because I didn't want to create more work and more time. And so we were living in LA. Now I'm living with my wife in LA. And so we're going to bed one night and we're falling asleep. And she goes, yeah, I don't think it's the cover. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I see this like white cover with what almost looks like handwritten like marker. And I was like, oh my God, I see it too. And so I woke up the next morning and I created what is now the cover of You Deserve the Shit based on that vision. And it changed in the blink of an eye just from following the intuition and following what felt right. So it never was this highly calculated decision. However, you know, from a marketing and business side of my brain, I knew that would jump off of a page. It would stop the scroll. And of course, I think that's important too when you design any sort of product is what's going to get attention, but what can get attention in an authentic and honest way. And so I think the reason why that title feels so good and it feels so honest is because the things that I teach in the book are the things that I learned on my own self-discovery journey. They're the things that helped me design a life that I was proud of, helped me get out of the moments where I felt stuck, helped me find clarity when I felt lost, helped me escape this cloud of confusion. And it's all the tools that I used specifically focusing on the three pillars of self-discovery, which are awareness, comfort zones, and intentional living. Mm-hmm. And it's through those lessons that I really found meaning in my life or created meaning and found what was meant for me and who I truly was. And they're the things that allowed me to step into the fullest version of myself. And so that book title resonates with me because all those things that I just named, the reader deserves all of that too. Because everyone in their life deserves to become the person they're capable of being. And through my work, I hope that I can just give people the tools to help them walk that path and not feel alone on it as well.
Yeah, and it's such a practical book. You know, that's what, you know, it's easy to listen to. Well, I listen to it and it's easy to read. And the advice is there. But, you know, do you think that there are people who might read this or look at this? What resistance do you think they might face when they're reading a book like yours? You know, like maybe I don't deserve it. Or is there something that, you know, you've come up with when you're talking to people about it that they go, oh, no, I just can't quite get over this part?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things come up. First thing, which I do address in the book right off the bat, some of these lessons won't resonate with you and some of them will. Mm. Take the ones that do and leave the ones that don't. And I think that's important in all areas of our life. When we're learning things, when we're taking advice, when we're reading books, listening to podcasts like these ones, take what resonates. You don't need to do everything that someone says. You should only do the things that feel authentic to you and that feel like what you need in your path. And so I think I start that book off with that statement because I am not for everyone and I do not want to be for everyone. If I am for everyone, I am for no one. And if I can make that claim right at the top of the book, I think it will help people have more openness because I'm not telling them that this is the absolute truth. I'm telling them that this is my truth. And if it resonates with them, take it. And if it doesn't, don't. And you can see in the reviews, I don't read reviews because just I don't need that in my life. But I'm sure there are reviews where people hated the book. And guess what? Art is subjective and people will not like the book and some people will love it. So I think also walking this path as an author, as a creator, as a speaker, the sooner you can accept that some people won't like what you do, the better you off will be moving forward because your job isn't to please everyone. Your job is to please the people that want the support and that feel connected to what you're doing. And so if there's some people that have that resistance of like, you know, I don't think this is for me, don't read it. Pick up my next favorite book, The Untethered Soul or Surrender Experiment. Like, don't read my book. The point of me putting out my book isn't for everyone to buy it. It's for to find the people that are meant to read it. And, you know, I think you also make a good point about the people that don't think they deserve something. You know, I think that's one of my goals with the book is to hopefully make someone feel like they do deserve it in reading that book and going through the journey. Maybe that's the lesson they get and they forget everything else. But they finally feel for the first time that they deserve something. And I think if someone feels that for the first time, it's going to be a massive door to open in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And you've talked, you know, a little bit more about your spirituality side of things. What are your beliefs around that? What is, you know, how does it help you? You know, because you mentioned Untethered Soul, you mentioned Surrender Experiment, which are phenomenal books, you know. Is this, you know, is that your spiritual belief system around this or is there something else going on for you? What's happened?
So I was raised in a Catholic household and I was a practicing Catholic until I was 18. My parents gave us the option after we were confirmed to choose what we wanted to do after that. And I would just make a side note, that is one of the things that I cherish deeply about my parents from the second I was a kid was that they never placed a predetermined path for us in life. And they did truly always give us a choice to choose what felt right for us. And I always want to honor them for that because that is such a rare thing to happen, but such an expansive support system to have. And through that, I've been able to build the life I have because I was coming from a foundation where my choices mattered and my choices meant something and my voice meant something. And so I just want to do that quick aside because I wouldn't be doing what I do today without making the choices that I wanted for myself. And that came from my parents giving me the permission to do so. And so after I got confirmed when I was 17 or 18, I stopped going to church. It just wasn't what I was connected to at the time. And now I don't say that in the sense that I was against religion, just as an 18-year-old, which like just wasn't lining up with me. And so I just went on this other journey. And eventually I read The Untethered Soul. I read The Surrender Experiment. I went on a solo backpacking trip. And I was in this really free-spirited chapter of my life when I was about 21. And that, I mean, specifically The Surrender Experiment, The Untethered Soul, I feel like I can confidently say those two books were the things that opened up my spiritual journey. And it wasn't anything, this profound awakening, and I just like totally shifted. It was just the concept that he taught in the book of surrender. Mm. And that is something, I mean, I have it tattooed on my arm now because it means so much to me, the word surrender. Okay. Yeah, it's right here on my arm.
Do you often look at that to remind yourself if you're struggling? Surrender, let go, stop resisting.
Yeah, it is a good reminder. It's a very good reminder. But that word is, I think, if I were to explain my life in one word, it would be surrender. Because that's why I've been able to do all the things I do. It's because I've just surrendered to the moment, to the experience I'm in, and to what the universe wants me to do in that experience. And I think a lot of, and this is actually Michael A. Singer's perspective that he teaches in his book, Living Untethered, which is a great audiobook if no one's listened to it, that our suffering is created from our expectations or preferences not being met in an experience or in a moment. So if we think like, hey, we want this, you know, say we're going on a date and we want to look like this, we want the person to treat us like this, we want to go this way or end this way, and it doesn't go that way, we get frustrated, we get angry, we hold resentment maybe toward that person or toward dating. And that suffering just comes from the fact that the experience itself didn't line up with what we wanted it to be. And ever since I learned this concept of surrendering, which is honestly just in simple terms, letting go of results. That's what it is. Yeah. So if you can go into a moment and just surrender and just experience it for what it is and show up as you're being called to show up, a lot of suffering removes from your life. And once I started to realize that and learn that perspective through Michael A. Singer's work, it just sent me on this journey of surrendering. What would happen if I just trusted the flow of the universe? So it's like in these moments of this week where I'm feeling really frustrated, I mean, not now, I've moved through it, but Tuesday and Wednesday were difficult days for me. And had I just really gripped on to that and been like, and held on to that anger and that frustration, and not, instead of just like letting go and like trying to understand what was happening and just like letting the universe push me into these different parts of my path, like that, the surrendering in that moment is what helps me move through it and helps me get into the next place and align with the right things. And so, yeah, I think my life and my spiritual journey are defined by the word surrender by far. And for me now, like what am I connected to? What do I believe in? Kind of looping back to the first question is openness, acceptance, learning, surrendering. I think through that lens and through that way of living, a lot of growth can naturally happen, and you'll most likely end up in areas of your life that are better than what you probably would have originally imagined.
I know, I love what you just said, and I'm with you on that. I remember reading Unto the Soul, and I remember going, oh, I'll have a look at the surrender experiment, and then doing something similar. And it was interesting how when you surrender, you notice the synchronicities begin to pop up, where your mind is now looking in new directions you might not have looked before when you're resisting that moment, when you're fighting with yourself or reality, because the ego says, it's got to be this way. It's got to be the way that I predicted, or I'm going to get, you know, very tense. And then those synchronicities can often lead to the most wonderful discoveries. We see possibilities and potential we wouldn't have seen before if we hadn't surrendered.
Yeah, I think that's such a beautiful way to frame it. I also would love to frame it in this way. In a universe defined by infinity, why would you try to control what your reality is supposed to look like? And I say that in the sense of there are infinite possibilities if we align with them. And through the surrendering, we can align with those possibilities. And in a universe with endless possibilities, why is my plan all of a sudden better than the universe's plan? Who am I to think that I know the absolute truth of what it is or what needs to be? But what if I just surrendered that to the universe to show me, to guide me on my journey to the things that belong to me? And I think that's how we really align with those miracles and those things that serve our greatest and highest good, kind of like the synchronicities that you're talking about, is just trusting where the universe is pushing us. I think it's really easy, like you were saying with the ego, to be like, no, I want it this way. It's really easy to push that stuff away because it's not what you originally thought your life or your path was going to look like. It maybe isn't the next step you thought you were going to take. But who's to say it's not the better step?
Yeah, no, I absolutely.
And I think that's the unlock.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. I think a lot of people might be diving into those books as well.
They're amazing. Anytime someone comes and they're like, hey man, what's your favorite book? I need a couple reads. I don't even recommend my own. It's The Untethered Soul in the surrender experiment. However, I will say read them the opposite way. Surrender experiment, untethered soul is the way I usually recommend them. But when people ask me, what book should I read? I always start there because I know how much it would open for someone.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, definitely. I'm going to ask you some quick questions now because we're coming towards the end of this interview. I could chat for ages, but let's get some questions in. What do you wish more people knew about you that most people don't?
I think one thing that I don't talk about too much on my social anymore, I used to. So if you've been following me for a long time, you'll know this about me, but I'm really into the outdoors. Like, I'm a big camping guy. I grew up in a family that was camping was a annual tradition. It was a big part of our childhood. And in 2017, I converted my own camper van with one drill, no workbench, and I cut all wood on a cinder block.
Why?
Now, why did I do that? Because it was my first time doing any sort of woodwork before. And so it was a journey, but it was a fun. I saw the van itself as a canvas, and I got to, and I still have it to this day. We take it camping every year. But yeah, so I don't talk too much about my camping side of myself. Maybe I should, because I was saying earlier how probably should share all sides of me, because that's how people will connect. So maybe that's maybe this is a call from the universe to share a little bit more about that side of me. But I love nature. I love the outdoors, and I think it does powerful things.
I think just you saying that, you know that it does powerful things. I think that's a message that maybe you could share if you choose to. I think it's something more people need to know about, because we get locked in our offices. They're living in captivity, a lot of people. That's the thing. And they wonder why they're getting a little bit stressed. Who besides Michael Singer, as in the author of Untethered Soul, who has also inspired you? Who's been a big inspiration in your life and influence?
Say my wife. We've been friends for, this year would be 12 years. I think we met 12 years ago. We were friends for the first 4 years, and then we got together, and I've been together for the last 7, and we just got married in last September. But she is also a highly creative person, also a highly spiritual person. I mean, she does spirituality for her work. She's an intuitive healer. She's a medium. She did spiritual mentorship kind of stuff. So she's tapped in, and she's been the reason why I've felt so open about this type of living. You know, had it not been for her in my life, who knows if I would have ever cracked into my own spiritual journey. Maybe it would have been different, or maybe it would have been later. Maybe. And so I think she just continuously inspires me to look beyond the surface of the physical reality and see what I can learn from it. And all through that inspires greater work and greater impact and greater value. And so I think living with someone and being with someone who motivates me to be a better person, not just for myself, but for the people around me, is something that I will never take for granted.
Wow. I love that. It's giving me chills, actually, just hearing that. I love that. Okay. The best insight besides surrender that you've ever had?
Something that's been coming up for me a lot recently, and I'll coin it as the best because it's the best for me right now, is follow your enthusiasm. I think we don't give credit to what excites us enough in life. And I think if we're out to build a life that truly is meaningful to us, whatever meaningful means to you, because there's not one definition, that happens through doing what makes you excited, doing what makes you feel enthusiastic, because those emotions fill you up with life. And I think as I go down this journey of entrepreneurship, as much as I am creating to impact others, I think I can create more value if I do the things that excite me.
I think that's beautiful. I really like that. We need to be more playful with life, really, don't we? And that enthusiasm is a good sign that we're alive doing something. But no, a lot of people are very good at banging them like a square peg into a round hole and just trying to settle that way. And last big question, really, is the top 3 tips for someone who wants to change their life. Who wants to understand they deserve this shit.
Yeah. So I love that as the last question, because I'm about to launch my speaking business and new, I call it a brand expansion. It's not a new brand, but a rebrand in the next 2 weeks. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but the second week of March. And it's all about choosing change to create possibilities. It's all about changing your life in a way that is sustainable and reasonable and actually works? And so I love that question because it feels like a nice segue to my next chapter as well. And I would say this, changing your life starts with becoming aware of the things you are feeling. There was a moment in my life where I felt very frustrated about where I was in my journey. And I had a conversation with a friend and she told me that that frustration is a signal that something wants to shift. And so I think it's really easy to think that our emotions are just emotions, but to me, they're information. And so if you can first start with becoming aware of what you're feeling and ask yourself what you need to shift to ease the tension, that's what starts the change journey. It's not the action. It's not doing something different. It starts with becoming aware of what you're feeling. And after you become aware of what you're feeling, I would say focus on small shifts. Believe in the power of simplicity. Change isn't just about doing crazy things or making a massive shift. Change happens when you make the small shifts and they compound into incredible results and transformation over time. And I think that belief is so important on a change journey because it makes it approachable, reasonable, and doable. Now, if you think change is all or nothing, or you think you have to do something crazy, then of course you're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel paralyzed and you're just not going to want to change. And so if you're looking to make a choice to change, if you want to choose change, I would just say, focus on small shifts. Believe that you are making growth every day, even if it's not noticeable yet. And be patient because growth takes time.
I think that's what a wonderful way to end our interview today. Amazing. Where can people find more about you? Your website?
Website is jordantarver.com. Social handles are all Jordan Tarver. I also have a free texting community. So I send out free inspirational text messages that are actually from me. It's not like a bot or AI. Like I'll probably get off this podcast and go send a message. But it's me sending these messages. So if you're feeling like you're alone on your journey, you want to feel supported, you want to be in a community of like-minded people, just text daily dose or text change to 707-289-7047.
Okay.
And you'll get a couple auto responses. And then after those two auto responses, they'll be no longer automated. It will be me texting you. But I say that if people are like, well, I can't afford the book, I can't afford this. You know, I understand that. And I've been in places in my life where I wish I could have got the support, but I just didn't have the money. And so I've always wanted to offer a free service that is completely just for giving people reminders and affirmations to help them believe in themselves. I never send marketing texts. So these are just like purely feel good reminders. So if that interests you, that is another place you can find me and a place where we can have a really nice one-on-one dialogue.
Yeah. If you send me those details, I'll make sure they are in the show notes as well as your Instagram, for sure. Your socials, as well as your website. Jordan, thank you so much for being a great guest on the show. There's a lot of deep insights here that I think listeners are really going to find valuable. Thank you so much for coming on to the
show. Thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate you reaching out, and also appreciate you doing what you do in the world and having this space for people to have conversation with the intention to help other people.
Yeah, well, I felt guided to ask you. I know you kept popping up on my feed, and I'm like, right, I am going to speak to this guy, and I'm going to see if he's going to come on the show, and here you are. Thanks again.
Absolutely.
And have a wonderful weekend. And to anyone listening, thank you so much for listening to the Mindset Change podcast with me and Jordan Tarver. His details will be in the show notes, and if you have any questions for either of us, please do reach out, and I look forward to connecting with you in the very next episode. Have a wonderful, peaceful, and present day.